Well, I want to say thank you and welcome once again to everyone that is here. We are in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. The title of the message today is You Are Secure in Christ. The overall theme that we're looking at is our relationship with God, understanding that Christ is all you need. We can find all of these answers to these questions in our life right here in the book of Colossians. It does not mean that the rest of the Bible is irrelevant. It just means that Paul has neatly packed these things in here for us. And this morning, I want to take a few moments and talk to you about being secure in Christ. Christ is definitely all you need. And in this passage of Scripture here in verses 15 through 20, we find six things that I want to talk to you about this morning. Now, the odds are we're not going to be able to cover all of those, and we might be here an hour if we did, so we might break this up this morning. We'll just see how the Spirit leads today. But the first thing that I'd like you to see in this passage of Scripture is that Jesus is God. How many of you can agree with that? That Jesus is God. We should be excited about the fact that Jesus is God. And we could spend a lot of time talking about how Jesus is God. I want you to understand something. There are a lot of people who call themselves Christians who will tell you, well, I'm not really sure if Jesus was really God. I mean, I believe Jesus was a good man, and I believe that Jesus came to earth, and I believe that Jesus died for my sins, and I believe that he was buried, and he probably rose from the grave, but I'm not really quite sure that Jesus is fully God. This was an issue that was infiltrating the church at Colossus. This was one of those issues from the Greek philosophers in the Greek philosophy that God could not have come to earth. That Jesus Christ was just a good man and he came to earth and he did some great things, but he was not God. He did not have the deity of God. Paul refutes these things here in the epistle to the church at Colossus. He says in verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. In verse 19, it says, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. You need to understand something, that Jesus was just not a good man. He wasn't some miracle worker or great prophet or a revolutionary leader. Although he did those things, that's not just who Jesus was. Jesus, and I'm going to say it over and over so that you clearly understand what I'm saying, Jesus is God. We need to understand that, folks. We cannot walk around calling ourselves Christians if we will not believe that Jesus is God. Look, all of what we just did here at the table and all of what we believe in the Bible, if we cannot believe that Jesus was God incarnate, that he came to earth, he had all of the attributes, he just allowed some not to be utilized. If we cannot believe that Jesus is God, then we've got a serious problem in calling ourselves Christians. Our whole basis of who we are and what we believe stands on the fundamental belief that Jesus is God. Paul put it like this. He said, who is the image of the invisible God? Jesus came in that image. He showed us. Remember, Jesus said several times, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Because he is the image. Hey, I got news for you. In Genesis chapter 1, I believe it's verse 26 or 27, it's right in there. It says, as God was creating the universe, remember what he said? He said, let us make man in our own image. Now, please don't take this the wrong way, but you are a reflection of who God is. So just look in the mirror. Jesus is God. You are not God, but you are in the image of God. Jesus was created in the image of God. The word image here, if we were to study the whole Greek thing, and you know me, I don't know much Greek. Baloney, that's about all the Greek I know. Okay, that was a good spot for you to laugh too. I have to hold up a sign that says applause or something, I guess. But this word that we find here in image in Greek is the same word that we use for icon. Means a likeness, a reflection, an image. Bible, Paul tells us he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He is God, his power. If you want to see the wisdom of God, just look to Christ. If you want to see the mercy of God, just look at the power of God, the grace of God, the truth of God, the glory of God, the heart. Just look to Christ. Look what Jesus did. You can see God all in all of that. He never held any of that back. I've heard preachers from the pulpit say, Jesus never said He was God. Therefore, He was not God. My first question would be, what Bible are you reading? Jesus equated Himself... Oh, by the way, this is not in my note, but I'll throw this out there to you. Jesus was crucified because He called Himself equal with God. Meaning He was God. That's why He was crucified, folks. In John chapter 17, Jesus prayed in that prayer, in Jesus' actual prayer, Jesus said that they would be one like we are, Father, one. He said that not just once, but several times in that passage of Scripture. Jesus is God. He is the reflection of God. He is who God is in human form. As I've mentioned, His deity is mentioned throughout the Bible. Let me point out a couple other ones to you. In John chapter 1, verse 1, most of you know this passage of Scripture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In John 1, 14, the Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We observe His glory, and the glory is one and the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The author of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of His nature, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. And that's just three. We could spend the whole time looking at passages of Scripture that talk about Jesus being God. He wasn't somewhat like God. He didn't kind of look like God or have God-like qualities. He was the exact expression. That's what the author of Hebrews said. He was the exact expression of His nature. So if Jesus is God, that means all things are possible with Him. If Jesus is God, all things are possible with Him. And that means that there is not a sickness that He can't heal. There's not a bill that He can't pay. There's not a problem that He can't fix. There's not a marriage that He can't restore. And there's not a life that He can't change. And when we begin to think that God can't do those things, then we are saying that Jesus is not God. And we're no different than these people here in Colossians. The church who is allowing the heresy to sneak in. And sneak in. We're a lot more sophisticated today. We just say, well, I didn't see God do that work, so it must not have been Him. God can fix all of these things. Jesus is God. And if you can understand that Jesus is God, that He has all the deity of God, then guess what? Then you can understand that your life is secure in Christ. You can understand that you can develop and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, which means you're having a relationship with God the Father. And the things that Jesus said, as I mentioned to you in John chapter 17, that we will be one as He and the Father are one, will be true. Wouldn't it be awesome if as individuals we had that kind of relationship where we knew that we were one with the Christ? Wouldn't it be awesome to know that as a church that we were one with Christ, that we would believe all things are possible, that we would believe that no matter who we pray for, that they can come to know Jesus Christ because He has the power to change their life? Wouldn't it be amazing if we as Christians would stand up and say, because I know that God, if Jesus is God, that He can fill this building, that He can pay all the bills in the church, so we don't need to worry about this, that, or the other, because God is God and Jesus is God, and we all know who and what He can do. But I fear that sometimes we as believers don't really believe that Jesus is God. And I'm here to tell you that Paul lets us know right here in this passage of Scripture in verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Jesus is God. Not only is Jesus God, and not only can we have security in the fact that Jesus is God, but Jesus is also the Creator. Look with me at verse 16. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Jesus Christ, God the Father, were not just artists. They were not just somebody who came along and said, well, here I've got a canvas and I've got some paint and I see these flowers and so let me paint a picture of those flowers. That's not who Jesus is. Jesus is the Creator. He spoke things into existence. Go to Genesis chapter 1. 8 times in the Genesis chapter 1 we find these words. And God spoke, or God said, and it came into existence. Remember the beginning. In the beginning, the earth was without form and void. There's nothing. And God spoke that into existence. He is the Creator. Jesus is the Creator. Look at what Paul says here in verse 16. For by Him were all things created. Every one of us were created by God. There is not one of us sitting here that was not created by God. Jesus, being God, is the Creator. And if we can understand that Christ is the Creator, then you can find security in knowing that God is not limited to your resources. He's not limited to the opportunities that you see, and He's not limited by the strength you possess. I'll tell you, we do not have time, obviously. There's not time to go through the Bible and look at the scope of all of these things, the resources, our abilities, our skills, our strengths. But I would encourage you, those of you that are reading through the Bible, and I hope all of you are reading through the Bible in the year. We passed out a sheet this morning. Hopefully you all got that it has the whole year plan on it. So if somehow we mess it up in a bulletin, you still have that plan. If you miss a week or something, you still have that plan, and you can read through the Bible in a year. I want to encourage you to do that, because you are going to find out that all the people, or most of the people that are used, that we find in the Bible, are these kind of people who had no resources, had no skills, no abilities, no strengths of their own. Yet God came along them because He is the Creator and said, I will lift you up and give you what you need. It is because He has the power that God is able to speak things that you can't see into existence. We find that in the creative story in Genesis chapter 1. He is the Creator. Jesus is the Creator. He is the Creator of everything. So the question I have for you, is there anything that God can't do in your life? Because I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of things that I believe that we relegate to God can't do. Well, you know, I can't find a job. Have you asked God? My marriage isn't working right. Have you asked God? The church isn't going where it needs to be. Have you asked God? So on and so on. Are we bringing those things to God? Are we coming with a broken heart and a broken spirit? Or do we just flippantly come to God and say, well, you know, here it is, God, you know, whatever. He is the Creator of the universe. I think this is amazing, and I try not to do this much because I'm just not very good at it, but I want to read you a description that I think will really bring home the fact that Jesus is the Creator. This comes from a commentary that John MacArthur has written. And it says this, it says, by studying the creation, one can gain a glimpse of the power and knowledge and wisdom of the Creator. The sheer size of the universe is staggering. The sun, for example, has a diameter of 864,000 miles. 100 times that of the earth. It can hold 1.3 million planets the size of the earth inside of it. The star Betelgeuse, however, has a diameter of 100 million miles. Now just fathom those numbers in your head for a minute. That's huge. We can't even demonstrate that. That is larger than the Earth's orbit around the sun. It takes sunlight traveling at 186,000 miles a second, 8.5 minutes to reach the Earth. At that same speed, to reach the nearest star, which is Alpha Centauri, it takes 24 trillion miles from the Earth. It takes it 4 years to get there. The galaxy to which our sun belongs, the Milky Way, contains hundreds of billions of stars, and astronomers estimate that there are millions and even billions of galaxies. I'm so glad that the Big Bang created all that. That was a good point to laugh too, because we all know that God is the creator, right?
Amen.
We know that He spoke it into existence.
Amen.
The size of the stars that we have in the universe and is about 10 to the 25th, and that's a humongous number, just believe me when I say that. It's roughly all the number of all the grains of sands in all the world's beaches. People cannot fathom how this world was created. We want to blame or we want to say that science has done that, but yet you realize that if the Earth tilted slightly left or right, up or down, that the Earth would become too cold or too hot. We would either freeze to death or burn up. It's at the right axis, spinning at the right speed. That the moon is the right distance away, otherwise we'd have tidal waves that would inundate the continents. Most of us would live underwater. God put all of those things into proper perspective, and God placed all those things where they need to be. The psalmist said it like this in Psalms 19, 1 through 4. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the works of His hands. Day to day pour forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their lines have gone out through all the earth in their utterance to the ends of the world. The testimony of the nature to the Creator is so clear that it is only through willing unbelief that you can reject His visible attributes, His invisible attributes. His eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Like those who deny Christ's deity, those who reject Him as Creator give evidence of a mind darkened by sin and blinded by Satan. If you cannot believe that Jesus Christ is the Creator of the world, of everything that you see, then you have a problem in your life. Just as much as if you don't believe that He is God. Think about His creative power when you ask Him to heal a loved one. Or His creative power when you need that job. Or when your courage is gone and your faith is wavering or your hope is gone. If you can't trust in things, I want you to say this, that you need to understand that Jesus Christ is the Creator. And because of Him, He has all power. And He can do all things. Remember the verse that says, with men, all things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Jesus can take care of your problems and your issues. He is not just the Creator of the world, but of everything. Listen to what Paul wrote here in verse 16. He says, "For by Him were all things created, and are in heaven, and are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him." It is believed that these four things that Paul lists here, thrones and dominions and principalities and powers, refers to angels. Paul is writing here because this church at Colossians is not just a Gentile church, but it's a church that has Jewish philosophy or Jews in there as well. And Jewish legalism kind of takes over, and they want people to come. We studied this before and looked at it, that, you know, they wanted people to be circumcised and not eat certain meats and all of these legalistic things. And another thing that they had going on is that they believed that you needed to worship angels. That they were the highest form of beings to be worshipped. And Paul is saying that God, Jesus Christ, created those angels. The demons, or not the demons, yeah, He created those too, but the thrones, the dominions, the principalities, and the powers. He is identified as the Creator of all of these. And if He is the Creator, that means He is greater than all of them as well. Listen to me clearly. If Christ is superior to the angels, He is superior to you as well. And if he controls how the angels move and he controls how the universe goes and he controls all the things that go on, then why can he not control your life? I'll tell you why. Because you don't let him. The reason he's not controlling your life, the reason that he's not as involved in your life as you'd like to believe, the reason that you don't see him infiltrating your life, the reason that your relationship isn't where you think it ought to be or the way you want it to be, is because you have not allowed the creator of the universe, Jesus Christ, to be in control of your life. And when we can understand that Jesus is God, we know that we have security in that. And when we can understand that Jesus is the Creator, we know that we can have security in that. We can have security in Christ. We can understand and begin to understand that Christ is all we need. If Jesus Christ is God, isn't that all we need? Amen. If Jesus Christ is the Creator of the universe and the Creator of you and me, isn't that all we need? That should be enough. Yeah, we like to pull other things in there. I want to bring some verses to your attention to help you remember. Memorization is not really one of my strong suits. I can remember bits and pieces. I have a very difficult time remembering full things. But I want you to remember this, that God has all the power. Remember Matthew 28:18, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth," Jesus said. He is the Creator, as we just seen in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. All things were created by Him and for Him. In John chapter 1, verse 3, He says, "All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made." You must go to Him. You must pray to Him. You must build your relationship with Him. This is how you know that you are secure in Him. And listen to me. If you're not building a relationship with Christ, that's why you don't believe that you're secure in Christ. I asked the kids this morning, we've been studying scriptures. Many of you might hear from time to time down there, the kids are pretty good at memorizing scripture. Their brains are still young and viable. And we're looking at, it'll come to me in just a second. Psalms 119:105. "Thy word is a lamp unto thy feet, unto my feet, and a light unto thy path." And I asked them this morning, I said, "What is the word?" And they said, "The Bible." And I said, "How do we know then? How do we use that? How do we use that as the light under our path?" And they said, "We have to read it." Amen. Now, if kids know that, shouldn't we know that? I asked them. I said, "What else can we do besides just read our Bible?" And they said, "Pray." Many of us talk and commune with our Father. See, we cannot develop a relationship. And knowing these things here are just knowledge, but if we don't move those from knowledge into the heart, if we don't move those things from the standpoint of, yeah, that's great, I understand that, I believe that, to really hardcore belief that I can stand on that I can be secure in Christ, that I can walk down the path that He wants me to walk down, if we can't put that into that hard truth, then our relationship with God is not the deep-rooted, intimate relationship that He desires to have with you. Jesus is God. And Jesus is the Creator. Do you believe that? Do you truly, truly believe that? I make this statement with you a lot. And sometimes it's just in fun. But I'm going to make it again. Because you're asking yourself that question. Do I believe that Jesus is God? And do I believe that Jesus is the Creator? I want you to look yourself in the mirror. I want you to take your churchy hat off, and I want you to sit there, and I want you to say to yourself, do I truly believe that? Or is it just something I say when I'm around Christian people? But when I'm not around Christians, when I'm not around God's children, I don't believe that. I don't want to know that. I don't understand that. It makes no sense to me. It just seems ridiculous. Because I got news for you, there's a lot of Christians that walk around with that very mentality. And if we truly believe that Jesus is God, and Jesus is the Creator, And there's other things that we'll get to next week. But if we truly believe those two things, wouldn't our life be different? Wouldn't our life reflect the glory of God? Wouldn't our life shine forth in a greater fashion? Wouldn't we be broken when we see people who aren't in church that should be? Wouldn't we be devastated knowing that there are people right next to us that are dying and going to hell? We'd have the compassion that Jesus had. At least twice that I know of, the Bible tells us that Jesus saw the crowd, the multitudes, and He had compassion on them. When we see the crowds and the multitudes, do we have compassion on them? Or do we just say, I'm too busy? I'm in a hurry. Get out of my way. I can't believe you took that last thing. I can't believe it's taking too long to get my food. I can't believe. Because none of those things reflect Jesus Christ. None of those attitudes reflect a relationship with God. Where do you stand? Do you truly believe that Jesus is God? Do you truly believe that Jesus is Creator? If the answers to those questions are yes, then I want to challenge your life. I want to challenge your relationship. I want to challenge where you stand in reflection, in relation to God. Not to me. Not to your spouse. Not to your co-workers. Not to your family members. But where do you stand in relationship to God? Because ultimately what happens is you stand before God and you have to give account for yourself. Time we as the church stop walking around acting like we love God and begin to truly love God. To begin to truly know who Jesus is and to have a relationship with Christ. And it'll change your life. It'll change you and make you into what God truly wants you to be. A child that's sold out for Him. What do you say to that? Our great God and Father in heaven, we thank You for this time. Lord, we thank You for all that we've heard this morning. Lord, sometimes I think that we have an attitude of, well, I'm here and I've done that part and that's all that matters. But what truly matters is that we get right with You. Your Word says You've never changed. You've never moved. You're always calling out. But as we'll see next week, as we look at our life, it's sin that separated us. And just like Adam and Eve who hid themselves in the garden. And so when that relationship is not where it needs to be, it's because we've moved, not You. You still love us. Because You've paid the price already. You don't even hold any condemnation against us. And so if that relationship is missing, it's because we have allowed it to be missing. Oh God, may You impress upon us. May you encourage us and just burden us down with the need to just dig into Your Word, to come to You and to build that relationship, but not keep it to ourselves, Lord. May it shine in such a fashion that people say, I've got to have that. May Your church become relevant once again. We have gone to the way of the world. We bring all the entertainment value in many places. And yet we have left off the important thing, and that's Your message, Your Word, the cross. Who You truly are. May we take what Paul has said here in the book of Colossians, Lord, and may we apply it to our life, and may we really search our souls and our hearts and say, do I truly believe that? And if I don't believe that, why don't I believe that? And not just leave here going, yep, I believe that. Yet deep down, we have doubts and we have questions and we have concerns. May You encourage us and strengthen us.
and encourage us. Just fill us, Lord. Help us to understand that You are all we need. That You are definitely enough in our life. In Your great and precious name. Amen.